Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you, or maybe it's Thursday morning or Thursday evening, wherever you might be listening. It's a delight for us to come to you once again with another Stand in the Gap radio program from the American Pastors Network. And along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is still on somewhat of an assignment, Dave, and I guess tomorrow this time we might find out what kind of an assignment he was on.
Well, Gary, I am sure he will bring us up to speed on his assignment, so we will say nothing more but let Sam explain himself.
That's the best thing to do. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us, and as we are coming to you from radio stations in Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and of course we encourage you to go to our new Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's www.standinthegapradio.com. We are delighted to have you join us either by radio or the internet. And by the way, when you go to that particular website, you can correspond with us at that website. If you have any questions about us or about this program or about an issue, don't hesitate to write us a note through that website, and we will do what we can to respond to you. Again, it's www.standinthegapradio.com. Just first and foremost, David, you know, we want to encourage people to pray for former President Jimmy Carter. He has been found to have liver cancer that has spread throughout his entire body. And, you know, whether or not we agree with the man's politics, when the man goes through something like this, we need to pray for him. So, you know, folks, we encourage you to pray for Jimmy. And one thing, Dave, you've got to say about him is that he's been a very active past president.
You know, Gary, he has, and he's involved himself, you know, in the building of these homes, these houses for underprivileged individuals, and he's been very much a spokesman for all of that. So I commend him. I commend him greatly for that, and do want to echo your comments that we need to hold him up before the Lord in prayer. Again, I don't think he was a great president at all, but he has done more productive work since he left the White House.
Well, he has. And, you know, when he was president, my associate pastor at that particular point of time, I'm sorry, this was after he left the White House, but my associate pastor in the early 80s, David, had a sister who lived in Washington, D.C., who went to the church that Jimmy Carter visited, and I think it was the First Baptist Church of Washington, and he was actually her Sunday school teacher. And I remember her saying that, you know, he was a great Sunday school teacher, but she did not like him at all as a president. And, but, you know, he's a whole lot more liberal than most Christians I know. I'm not going to debate whether or not he truly is a born-again man, though he says that he is. But I sometimes have wondered about some of his opinions and thoughts and ideas from the biblical perspective, Dave.
Well, Gary, I have wondered the same things and for the same reasons. Again, I am no man's judge. I don't know what's going on in his heart between he and the Lord. But I will say this. He has done some very productive work since he left the White House. And, of course, with this revelation of cancer that is metastasized throughout his body, we definitely need to hold him up in prayer. And I would encourage our listeners to follow your admonition to do exactly that.
You know, we want to jump ahead to Franklin Graham. You know, it seems the more that Franklin Graham speaks, Dave, the more I'm very encouraged about him impressed with him. I've often said that I think that he is more out there with expressing his thoughts and opinions from the biblical perspective in a clarity that his father has not done, particularly in recent years. But, you know, last night, Franklin Graham was on the O'Reilly Factor, but in the last couple of months, he has been speaking quite strongly against the LGBT family, and of course, those who are part of the LGBT family-friendly companies. As a matter of fact, he has gone to the point of saying that those companies that are a part of the LGBT family, that is, you know, they they support the LGBT agenda and so forth and so on. He says that what we must really be ready to do is to fight the tide of moral decay that is being crammed down our throats by big businesses, the media, and the gay and lesbian community. He went on to say, quote, "Let's just stop doing business with those companies who promote sin and stand against Almighty God's laws and his standards." He said, "Maybe if enough of us do this, it will get their attention," end quote. And so really what he is doing is basically saying that if we find that there is a big business, a company, whatever it is, that's a part of the LGBT-friendly family group, that good, solid Christians who are concerned about the direction of the LGBT philosophy should just not shop there, should not buy there, should not participate in what those companies have to offer.
Well, you know, Gary, he came short last night in his interview on the Bill O'Reilly Show, and of course, Eric Bolling was filling in for Bill O'Reilly. He came short of calling for an outright boycott, but he did say some phenomenal things. And Gary, I want to say this. I have been so impressed with Dr. Graham's forthrightness, his candor, his courage. Some of the things he said in recent months have garnered him a lot of negative publicity. But he is standing, Gary, right where any Christian preacher should stand, and he is speaking with a degree of fortitude that I pray every Christian pastor and Christian preacher would speak. So I am beyond proud of him. I stand with him. Gary, you probably got the article that I wrote this morning basically stating that I stand exactly where Franklin Graham stands. And I think his comment was very, very well worded. Let me just read a little bit of the text of it beyond what you just read. He said this, quote, "This whole gender neutral business has gone too far. And I say shame on Target for giving in to just one person who sent out an email and some others who picked it up. You don't have to shop at Target. There is other competition out there. They just might want to take their business. In other words, those that disagree with Target's LGBT friendliness, they might want to take their business somewhere else," end quote. And, you know, Gary, again, I think he's right about that. You know, this thing has gone too far. Political correctness, LGBT, gender identity friendliness, and all these companies that are bending over backwards, tying themselves into a pretzel to show support for that. They're doing exactly as Dr. Graham said. They're ignoring the millions of customers out there, hardworking families who have children that have made these companies what they are, and Target and all the others that have gotten on board with them are turning their back on the people that have made them successful.
Do you think the Christian community has the backbone and the conviction to stay away from those companies such as Target and others like Starbucks and Walgreens and eBay and other groups like that?
Well, if you're addicted to coffee, probably not. The fact of the matter is this, Gary, in all seriousness, some will. Many will not. However, I will say this. Probably there may be more, or there could be more people that would be willing to get on board with this than what we've imagined. You remember several years ago, and by the way, Dr. Graham referenced this last night with Eric Bolling, when Mike Huckabee called for the Support Chick-fil-A Day, there was an overwhelming response from the Christian community. That could very well happen again.
Well, we'll just wait and see. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today is the day for our Washington Beat with Attorney David New. And, of course, he always has some very interesting things to share with us. And so after we go to the break, when we come back, Attorney David New will be with us. And so you'll not want to go too far away from your radio or your computer. It's a delight to have you with us, and we just can't wait to come back after this break and share with you more information. This is the Stand in the Gap Today radio program from the American Pastors Network.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500. Or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
New Jersey is being invaded by Martians. This was the script of a 1938 radio drama based on the novel War of the Worlds, written by H.G. Wells, who died this day, August 13, 1946. Wells's novel also inspired a boy named Robert Goddard that spaceflight was possible, and he became the father of modern rocketry. H.G. Wells also wrote the bestsellers The Time Machine, The Invisible Man, and The First Men in the Moon. Though a skeptic, in his Outlines of History, H.G. Wells described the U.S. Constitution, saying, "Its spirit is indubitably Christian."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards has been all over television news programs trying to defend her organization from the revelations that it harvests and sells the body parts from unborn babies. It doesn't seem to be working since there is a growing number of states that have launched investigations into Planned Parenthood and that have cut off sending tax dollars to that group. Earlier this year, Cecile Richards was in Harrisburg, celebrating the election and inauguration of our new governor, Tom Wolf. At that time, Richard said that Pennsylvania's governor is the first governor from any state that has volunteered as a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic escort, meaning that Tom Wolf helped take women and girls into Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. Governor Wolf needs to hear from you that it's time to cut ties with that death-dealing organization. Sign our online petition at pafamily.org/ppaction. That's pafamily.org/ppaction.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and Sam Rohr is on assignment. The Lord willing, he will be back with us again tomorrow. However, today, someone who is not on assignment is Attorney David New, who is the American Pastors Network Washington Beat Attorney. David New, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
Well, it's so nice to be with you.
How in the world are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm doing reasonably well, given the circumstances of what's going on in America.
Oh, my. You mean you're not encouraged about what's taking place across the fruited plain these days?
Well, I'll tell you, it is difficult to be encouraging, but I will say this, we know how it all ends. I've read the last chapter, and so and from that perspective, I guess there's all the more reason to be optimistic.
And you know, David, that's why I so often say keep looking up, because we do know the best is yet to come. No matter what the circumstances are around us today, we do know the best is yet to come. And we also realize that we are living in the last days, meaning that things are going to get worse and worse until we hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and Jesus Christ appears in the clouds of the air and says, come up hither, you know, but, you know, it's going to get worse and worse. Of course, we're not to quit. We're not to give up. We are to stand by this stuff, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to do that. Well, as our Washington beat, we know that you are keeping your eyes not only on what's taking place in Washington, but what's taking place in various venues and circumstances across the country. And from what we have been told by you, the Ohio Board of Professional Responsibility for Judges has recently ruled that a judge must be willing to perform same-sex marriages with no exemptions. That sounds pretty serious to us, David. Why don't you explain that to us, if you would, please?
It is a very sad development. Of course, as you recall, Ohio was one of those jurisdictions, along with Kentucky and some others, that caused this case to eventually go before the U.S. Supreme Court, because Ohio stood for the family. And the voters in that state, as well as Kentucky, and I think there were two others, joined in that as well. And here we have a situation where there's a Toledo municipal judge by the name of C. Allen McConnell, and he was not interested in performing same-sex marriages because he's a Christian. This is quite understandable. Notwithstanding that situation or position, the Ohio Supreme Court's Board of Professional Conduct said that he cannot do that, that he is required by the profession and the professional conduct standards to perform same-sex marriages. If he's willing to perform marriages for heterosexual couples, he has to do it for same-sex marriages. Well, then, of course, there's another thing that he could have done, is that's not perform them at all. Don't perform any marriages, just to get out of the situation completely. But that was unacceptable, too. The court said that if you refuse to perform same-sex marriages because of your religious beliefs and then stop performing all marriages to avoid that issue, that's unacceptable as well. So this is a situation that we have where these people who say they're not imposing their values on other people are doing exactly that. They started with the Boy Scouts many years ago, and they continue to impose their morals on other people, and this is wrong. In Kentucky, as was mentioned earlier today by David, there is a Rowan County clerk by the name of Kim Davis, and she is not willing to issue same-sex marriage licenses, and a judge ordered her to do it, Judge David Bunning. And so here we have people, Christians, people who believe in the teachings of the Holy Bible, standing up for what is good and decent. And then here you've got these courts that are promoting immoral acts that is just so unbelievable that a human being would be involved in some of these things. Here they are being told that they've got to put up or shut up.
David, let me ask you.
They have to get in line.
David, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You may be aware of the situation that happened. I can't remember, Gary, maybe you can help me what state this occurred in, but there's a gentleman who was serving as a volunteer chaplain, and he was told in the prison system where he was chaplain that if he could not continue to describe homosexuality as a sinful behavior as he would minister and preach to those inmates in that prison. And so his religious beliefs are being denied as well. David, is there, in your estimation, both obviously I know from a moral standpoint where you stand, but is there any legal footing that Mrs. Davis has in Kentucky as a county clerk refusing to issue a marriage license to same-sex couples? Is there any legal footing for this volunteer chaplain in the prison system, or are they all running into a brick wall in a dead-end street, or what do you think is going to happen legally?
I think what's going to happen, what's going to happen is that the gay and lesbian community are going to push this issue so far and so hard that there's going to be a real backlash, that there's going to be a reaction. And these people, these are very good and decent people. And when they're being asked to do something that that they don't believe in, that is so basic to their faith as a Christian, they have a very hard standing, legally speaking. It's not going to be easy for this judge in Toledo, Ohio, Judge McConnell, municipal judge, not to do it. It's not going to be easy for Kim Davis because she's a county clerk. So she's going to have a hard time, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does when it finally gets before the court, which one is going to prevail.
Well, now,
this will be a free exercise case.
Dave, you say there's going to be a backlash. That backlash will come from whom?
I think it's going to come from the people. I do believe eventually right now, you know, it's interesting, the Loving Virginia case, Loving versus Virginia, which was decided by the Supreme Court in 1967, that case was the racial, interracial case where Virginia did not permit a white man by the name of Richard Loving from marrying a black woman, Mildred Jenner. Actually, they were married in Washington, D.C., and they moved into Virginia, and they were told they have to pack it up and get out. It's interesting when you compare that case to the same-sex marriage case that was just decided a couple of months ago, the vote on the Supreme Court. In Loving versus Virginia, the vote in favor of permitting these couples to stay married, whether they're in Virginia or not, was 9-0. It was unanimous. The same-sex marriage case was 5-4. So people who think that the same-sex marriage parallels the right of interracial marriage are very, very mistaken. The public definitely was behind Loving versus Virginia, and the Supreme Court was unanimous in their decision. The public is more like the 5-4 decision in the same-sex marriage case. At least right now, it appears that there is a majority that support it, but it's a slim majority. And it's a wide majority, but it's not very deep and it's not very solid. And I think these groups are going to push and push and push where you can go into a bathroom. If I walk into a men's room, I'm not sure if everyone in that room is a man. I mean, this is something that could happen.
Well, we know we're getting to that. I mean, this transgender thing, you know, it's out there.
Oh.
And of course, you know, I think we talked with you before on this program, how that, you know, there are some municipalities across the country that want to have, you know, what, if you want to call them a unisex restroom or whatever. I mean, a male or a female can go into them. And if a man thinks he's a woman, he can go into the woman's restroom. Or if the woman thinks she's a man, she can go into the man's restroom. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's nuts. And so we are going to see things like that, I'm sure. But getting back to this Ohio situation, David, what kind of authority does the Ohio Board of Professional Responsibility for Judges have? Who are they? Who is that board? What makes them up? And do they really have strong jurisdiction over the individual judges in the state?
Oh, absolutely. They have judges, like lawyers, have to there is a code of professional responsibility for judges as well as for lawyers. And judges, if a judge gets out of a line, you can file a complaint with these people and say that this judge was inappropriate and behaved different ways. Different jurisdictions have different things. But the bottom line is there is an organization within the judiciary of each state where a judge is accountable for his or her behavior. And so they have the jurisdiction to do this.
David, let me ask this. If you've got a judge or a county clerk, as is the case with Kim Davis over there in Rowan County in Kentucky, and they have a moral obligation a moral conviction or strong religious belief that prohibits them in their mind from performing a same-sex ceremony or for issuing a marriage license, what kind of recourse do these morally minded judges have, or is there no recourse for them?
It just eventually the case is going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. There's no question about it.
And of course,
that's what we're going to have to decide, or the court's going to have to decide how this should be handled.
And I suppose that there are those who are ready to take it right there, right now. And of course, this will be a very, very interesting thing to follow. David, and I'm sure you'll keep us up to date on what's going on, not only there in Ohio, but in, of course, in other jurisdictions across the country as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, but the Lord willing, we will be back in about 3 minutes, and we're going to switch to another subject. We're going to get David New's take on Donald Trump. You won't want to go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Federal officials say water quality is improving following a spill at a Colorado mine. The toxic plume has the head of the EPA visiting Farmington, New Mexico.
Elected officials in the affected states of Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah said they were troubled by the EPA's slow response. They say they'll consider possible legal action and in the meantime hope the EPA is very transparent about water test results.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Americans spent more last month buying cars and restaurant meals.
The Commerce Department says retail spending increased 0.6% in July. June's retail sales were revised upwards to show them unchanged instead of the previously reported 0.3% drop.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. Another economic snapshot coming from the Labor Department. New applications for jobless benefits were up last week, but only slightly. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info at 1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed. Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is away on assignment, a very special assignment. And, of course, we also have with us today our Washington Beat attorney, David New. And we are delighted to have him with us today. And, of course, it's always a blessing to have David New along with us. And, David, I'm not sure what I'm hearing there with your connection. David, are you there?
Yes, yes, I'm right here.
Okay, and it sounded like I heard some noise coming from your connection. And but anyway,
I think it was the National Security Administration.
You think that's what it was? Well, whatever it was, I'm glad it's gone. But anyway, we want to shift gears here a little bit and talk somewhat about the Donald Trump candidacy. You've been around Washington for a long, long time. You've been following governmental workers. You've been following those in positions of authority, not only around the Supreme Court, but around the White House and around the Capitol. Let me ask you your thoughts on the Donald Trump candidacy. As one who has watched these things down through the years, do you think that his candidacy is going to prevail? I mean, it just seems like every time we turn around, no matter what he says, no matter what he does, his ratings remain high. You know, and the thought that comes to my mind is, how long can this continue? Will it continue? Do you think his candidacy will prevail?
I will say this. The candidacy of Donald Trump is absolutely wildly exciting. People have tapped into him in a way that they haven't tapped into anybody else that's run for president in the last 100 years. It's just, this man has got the Republican establishment in Washington, D.C. in an uproar. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to do. They're losing sleep. Everybody's upset about this man. He keeps saying all these crazy things, and some of them are on a bit of a vulgar side, if you know what I'm referring to. And he keeps doing these things, and his numbers keep going up. He's ahead in New Hampshire. He might have a problem in Iowa because he's got to know how to drive a bus. But the problem that he's got is that this guy keeps going and going, and nothing seems to stop him.
Well, that's it, and I think that
I love watching him. When he got in that fight with Rosie O'Donnell about his hair and all these things, I was really excited. It went back and forth for two or three or four days. It was one of the greatest public spitball fights I've ever seen. I just absolutely loved it. And here Rosie O'Donnell now is part of the presidential history of 2016. It's just unbelievable. I don't know, David, what to think of this guy.
Well, David, let me ask this. Don't you think what he's tapped into is the overwhelming anger on the part of the American people toward an administration and toward a president? And I'm speaking, of course, of Barack Obama, who has done nothing but apologize for America. He's been a man who's spoken a lot but has done nothing. And the American people view Donald Trump, or at least those that support him, they view him as a man who does get things done, and he would get things done as president. So he's tapping into the frustration of the American people?
Oh, there's no question that that is a big factor. But I think even maybe perhaps a bigger factor, that what people like about Donald Trump is that he says what he thinks. That one of the things that politicians don't understand about the American voter, the voter may not agree with you on many, many issues, but they'll still vote for you if they respect you. And these people that are backing him in many instances do not agree with him. They don't think that the Mexican government is necessarily deliberately doing it, at least on an organized way. They don't think that women are all bad, except for maybe Rosie O'Donnell. But other than that, he says what he thinks, and that's what people like. They want somebody who is authentic, somebody who's real, somebody who's genuine. This is what I believe, and that's the way it is. Let the chips fall where they may. And people love that in a man.
And he doesn't apologize when the pressure is applied. He just says it, unsanitized.
He won't apologize.
Yeah, and he won't apologize. I agree. I think, David, you're hitting the nail squarely on the head.
Yet authenticity is the key. Now, what he's got to do, if he wants to be a serious candidate for president, if he really wants to win, one thing he did say that I didn't like is he says, I want to be treated fair. Well, if you're in politics, sweetheart, don't be looking for fairness, because you're in the business where anything and everything can happen but fairness. In fact, when fairness happens, you better worry, because that means it's really bad for you.
He actually went on that in that same context, David, and said, I want to be treated fairly. I will treat others fairly. But treating people fairly doesn't always mean that it's going to be nice or that it's going
That's
to be
right.
easy. In other words, it goes back to what Dave Kistler is saying, and that is, he says what he thinks. I mean, you know, being fair does not mean that what you're going to say is what people want to hear. But, you know, thinking about him, you know, is there anything out there that will stop him? I mean, I don't agree with some of the way that he has spoken. It's interesting to note yesterday Jeb Bush was being heckled somewhat in a gathering. And I saw Trump being interviewed about that. He said, that won't happen with me. I will either ask those people to leave or have my security take them away. I mean, you know, he's right out there. And I'm sure that somebody is going to try to tempt him along that particular line. But having said that, is there anything that's going to stop this guy?
Yes, there is. Donald Trump's biggest problem, his number one obstacle, is Donald Trump. You can just go so long and call people stupid. You can just go so long and go for the throat against anybody who attacks you and get away with it. At some point, it wears off. And that's where he's at. The problem with the other candidates is that they need to find other ways to get around him and to circumvent him. One, if I was running for president, what I would have done in that debate, I would have said something like this to take some of the thunder away from Donald Trump. I would have said something like, I promise you that if I do not reduce immigration, illegal immigration, by more than 90% within my first term, I will not run for reelection.
You know, I would love to hear a presidential candidate say that. I mean, you know, there'd be a lot of them that wouldn't run the second time around.
Yeah, here's the thing. The Democrats are the minimum wage party.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the business of giving you the highest minimum wage. If I was on that debating team, I would have said, if you want a high minimum wage, you go vote for Sister Hillary, or you vote for Bernie Sanders. If you want a maximum wage, you vote for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You talk about Bernie Sanders and Hillary, and of course, in our last segment, Dave Kistler and I are going to talk about Hillary somewhat because she's really hot in the news. In the event that you don't realize that, but isn't it interesting that somebody like Bernie Sanders is coming up in the polls on the Democratic side, and somebody like Donald Trump is coming up in the polls on the Republican side? What in the world is taking place in American politics today, David?
Bernie Sanders right now is beating Hillary Clinton in the polls in New Hampshire. He is catching up in Iowa right now. He's catching up. Let me tell you, even if she goes to New Hampshire and starts crying again, I don't think it's going to work. Her support is very, very broad in the United States for her to be the Democratic nominee. Her problem is it's not very deep.
Mm. Well, that's true. And, of course, you know it's probably going to become more and more critical as time goes on with some of these things that are coming out about her. But going back to Donald Trump, and I know this is speculation, but what would you think a Trump presidency would look like? I mean, can you see him sitting down across the table from Vladimir Putin? him calling him stupid and an idiot and a fool? I mean,
yeah, he's going to have problems. He's got to learn. He's got to stop attacking people that attack him. He needs to respond in a mature fashion. He needs to tone down. He needs just to relax a little bit. He's got the people listening to him. Now that they're listening to him, come out with something substantive, which I believe he's about ready to do. But he needs to get his behavior. A president is a very diplomatic person, and Donald Trump has about as much diplomacy as a shark. And he needs to cut that out. He needs to stop attacking people that attack him.
Wow.
Such a bad way.
You know, Gary and David, I think honestly, David, you are really, really hitting on a legitimate point. The part about Donald Trump that is so respected right now is the fact that he's doing something that has not been done in American politics and in American leadership in many a year, and that is speak your mind. Stand up and declare unequivocally that you're pro-American. You believe in American exceptionalism. You believe in beating Chinese. You believe in pushing America to the forefront instead of allowing other nations to overrun us. That has not existed, certainly in the last 7 years under the current administration, so people appreciate that. But presidential temperament, the kind of temperament that Ronald Reagan had, this statesman-type temperament, is what Donald Trump is going to have to cultivate if he's going to go further.
Well, and I'll tell you what, he's going to have to cultivate it. Maybe David New, you could be his coach. David New, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on the Washington Beat. We'll look forward to having you back with us sometime in the near future, in about 2 weeks, the Lord willing.
2 weeks.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't you leave, because we have a lot more to talk about yet, particularly some of these new things that have come up with regard to Hillary Clinton. You won't want to miss our last segment for today. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner, as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Once all the experts, political pundits, and philosophers declare their best advice for life, confusion and disagreement will still remain. On the other hand, King Solomon, the wisest man, shared advice that, if heeded, would provide direction and certainty. It would change the world. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the entire duty of man, because God will bring every action into divine review with every secret thing, and he will determine whether it was good or evil." That's right. Every deed, every action, and every thought, public or private, is being recorded by God Almighty, the great judge of all mankind. Everything, nothing hidden, nothing covered, nothing secret. How much do you fear God and keep his commands? I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, asking you, whose advice are you heeding? Some human expert or God, who will judge even the experts?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Dave Kistler. I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is away on assignment. He will be back with us tomorrow, the Lord willing. And, of course, we just had the opportunity of having David New on with us with our Washington beat, and it's always a blessing to have him on board as well. But, David Kistler, we're going to change gears a little bit and talk about Hillary. Where would you like to begin? Bless her little pea-picking heart. I think she's finished. I think she's done.
Well, Gary, you know, we've said this for some weeks, maybe several months, that we here at the American Pastors Network do not believe that she is going to be the Democratic nominee. And, Gary, the events of the last 24 to 48 hours would lead me to just put a giant exclamation point on that. All of the reporting, Gary, is saying that she turned over her server to the State Department, or excuse me, to the Department of Justice, when in all actuality her server was confiscated from her by FBI agents who, along with the Justice Department, are trying to survey that server to see what's on it. Now, there are also reports coming out that are saying that the server is blank. The one that was confiscated is blank. However, some of those things that are on servers can be resurrected. They can go back in and find some of that information. So all of what's on there and what will be found, not found, is yet to be seen. But Gary, she is in more trouble than she could possibly imagine. And if certain things happen, Gary, she could face criminal prosecution and she could face jail time. And I will say this from my understanding of the law and my personal opinion, she should face charges of being a traitor.
Well, I would agree 100%. And, you know, I've said on this program before, even before these last revelations came out, that I don't think that she's going to be in the race by the end of this year. I've often said she will probably be in jail. I mean, that's just me speaking. Now, I don't know that she'll be in jail because, you know, even if she is found to be guilty of some of these things, this thing would go on and on and on and on in the court, I'm certain. But I just don't see that she's going to be even a factor to take into consideration by the end of this year. And, you know, boy, there are all sorts of conspiracies out there. I think one that is probably very, very prevalent, at least among many people, is that, you know, there's not really the best blood between the Obama family and the Clinton family. And, that really Barack Obama took her on as Secretary of State really just to keep her quiet or to keep Bill quiet, you know, while he was trying to administrate his presidency, and that may be true. But, you know, the conspiracy that's out there right now is that all of this is, taking place right now under President Obama's direction so as to make her look bad, to sink her, so as to open the door for Joe Biden to come in and run for the presidency. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, again, Gary, you know, the bad blood between the Clintons and the Obamas is well known in Washington, D.C. circles. It's been something that's been out there since the time Barack Obama was elected president, you know, the first time. So this is nothing new. However, what is somewhat new is the writing about it, the putting forth of that concept in front of the American people. And today on Fox News, they had as one of their guests, I think it was Bill Hemmer's show, they had on Ed Klein, who's a gentleman who wrote this book called Blood Feud, discussing the controversy and the animosity and the intense hatred between the Obamas and the Clintons. And what he is saying, Gary, is what I have believed to be the case for some time, and that is that someone has been feeding the fire. They've been fueling the fire. They have been sending out information or releasing information about the email controversy. And Ed Klein believes the ones doing that is the Obama administration or entities in the Obama administration because of this venomous hatred that the Obamas have for the Clintons. So yes, the concept is that Hillary's campaign for president is being sabotaged by her boss, Barack Obama. Now, the question is, who would that pave the way for to come on the scene and become the ultimate Democratic nominee? Is it Joe Biden? Gary, if Joe Biden is the best person they can muster, then they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, literally, they are. What
it would
I
be fun,
think,
though. It would be so fun following his candidacy.
Gary, it would be a trip into the Twilight Zone is what it would be, because who knows what the man's going to say. I mean, it would just be between Donald Trump's hair and Joe Biden's mouth. We would have plenty to talk about, wouldn't we?
Are you saying it's a head problem?
Well, yeah, exactly. Listen, here's the bottom line. The point I'm trying to make is this. And remember, if this does ultimately prove to be the case, remember you heard it here on Standing the Gap Today first. Gary, honestly, I believe there might be a setup taking place to try to get Michelle Obama onto the stage as the Democratic nominee. Think about it, Gary. First woman president, first African-American woman president, a woman who is the wife of what some believe to be the greatest president we've had in U.S. history in Barack Obama. How they could think that is beyond me. But anyway, think of all the historic firsts that a Michelle Obama candidacy would bring to the table. She would be, I think, a formidable adversary.
Well, you've said it. I know you've said it many times off air, but now you've said it on the air, so we'll see if you become a prophet. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, it's interesting that Fox News put out something written by Chris Steirwalt earlier today where he is talking about Hillary's best case scenario, and he says her best case scenario gets worse. But here's what he says, and I quote, "It looks increasingly like the best case scenario for Hillary Clinton might be that someone from her inner circle will face serious consequences for their handling of classified information on her secret home email server." Of course, then he says a number of other things, but he says this, "This is the best case scenario because, as it has been pointed out, the charges from an inspector general will be extremely hard to duck." So a good outcome at this point for Clinton on the allegations of mishandling sensitive documents as America's chief diplomat might really be the ability to blame staff error for the breach. What do you think? Do you think that will be her way out of this?
Well, Gary, I think already that is the game plan that's unfolding. I think what they're saying now is that before the emails got to her, somebody within her staff had scrubbed the classified comment or the top secret, you know, classification. And so by the time Hillary got it, she did not, quote unquote, realize that it was top secret. Gary, here's the deal. If those things had been scrubbed, if what they're saying is true, and I have questions about whether or not that's the case, though it could be, someone in her position ought to recognize certainly top secret material when they're looking at it. If she could not recognize the highly classified nature of that material, then she didn't deserve to be Secretary of State, and she certainly didn't deserve to be president.
She has disqualified herself from being the president of the United States, in my opinion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow, which means it will be Phone-In Friday. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from you as you look forward to hearing from us. Until then, on behalf of Sam Rohr, who's on assignment, Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come. Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.